much love. If you enjoy the second 3 weeks, I'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Hello, this is Mark Noon from the Slicky Boys, and I'm over here turning knobs and wrecking the place in the studios, and this is WMUC-FM College Park.
Community Forklift is a num.
We got a chaotic show for you today. We were supposed to, I was aiming for as heinous as I could get. I don't think I quite reached that threshold, but I think I came pretty close. We got Boston Ben. We got Jonah Goldfarb. Yeah. We got Vignesh all here on WMUC-FM, College Park. Excuse me. Brought to you right now. Let's do some introductions. Let's do names and let's do... who is your goat of basketball? Who is your goat of basketball?
Okay. My name is Jonah. Senior pre-med, physiology, neurobiology major. Fun fact about me is that I can whistle through my teeth. And my goat
Wasn't the question, but continue.
Al Horford.
Hold on. Pause. It's amazing. Al Horford, great basketball player. Viggy, you know that mic. You know what? Viggy, talk. Go.
Yes, I'm talking. I'm talking here.
Wow, yeah, maybe it does work.
Yeah,
all right.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, you didn't know that. You did not know that. All right. I guess Viggy actually, maybe Mike 3 does work now. All right. Ben, what do you got for us?
Ben. Oh, peeking the mic. I'm Ben. And does this sound boosted you? This is crazy.
I don't know. I don't have headphones.
Do you?
No,
I don't. Okay, I'm I'm Ben. I'm a senior cell biology and genetics major, and I gotta say, my goat. You know, it used to be back in the day. Let's just go back in the day for a moment. Avery Bradley used to guard Kyrie Irving like you wouldn't believe. Boston Celtics. What was that? 2015, maybe.
Ain't they beat him every time they went to the playoffs?
Yeah, but there was one time I remember game winning Sean Ryan.
Mike 3 actually doesn't work, but Viggy's so loud you can hear him on Mike 2.
That's my aura.
I feel like am I peeking this mic out like crazy? Because I feel
no. It's literally just like I'll turn it down a little bit, but okay. This is just the mic.
Okay, great. Nowadays, you know, the GOAT of basketball, it's debatable. It's very debatable, but I like the dynamic between Chuck and what's his guy? Chuck and Shaq. So give me that.
That dirty water down in Galveston.
Yeah, all right.
Don't worry.
My turn.
Yeah, fart smeller. What do you got for us?
So my name is Viggy. My major is aura farming, and my goat is the aura farmer himself, Anthony Edwards, who sent the false goat LeBron James home. Anyone want to talk to me about it?
Bring your bleep to Minnesota.
This might be the first time I walk out. Excuse me. I might excuse myself and start walking
over
the rain.
There's a lot of great takes that have been on Excuse Me over the years. There has not been someone though to be so you know, embroiled in the excitement, in the debate of excuse me to get up and leave and excuse themselves. So, you know, you know, there's these things are they're always capable. They're always in the works. Let's talk some hoops playoffs. So first round is almost over. You got Rockets Warriors game 7 tonight. Series is very interesting because you end up with two teams where there's a lot more experience on Golden State. Golden State was maybe the hottest team in basketball over the last 2 months of the regular season. A lot of people took Golden State. They were big. They were pretty big favorites as a 7 seed against a 2 seed in Houston. I think a lot of that also is the records were pretty similar. I think Houston had like 3 or 4 more wins in the regular season. But we've reached Game 7. Ethan Novick, plus 180, Houston Rockets. To win the series.
Wow.
They're favored to win tonight. What are the predictions of the esteemed panel we have here? What do we think is going to happen tonight? Anyone who wants to go can start
off. I think Steve Kerr binned it by not putting in the starters. Was it game 5?
Yeah, game 5.
I think that completely shifted the momentum of the series. I think Golden State, extremely talented, but an aging roster going up against one of the youngest, most well-conditioned teams in the league. Two really big guys compared to Golden State team, which has been known for small ball throughout their whole dynasty. I just don't think that they're going to have the manpower or the athleticism or the endurance to hang with the Rockets in this game. Give me the Rockets.
It's a great thought. And what I will say is, is your theory a little bit of a the shark smelled the blood in the water? Where it was kind of like a, oh, you're not going to put your starters back in. Oh, your guys are old. They can't compete with us. All right, let's run them off the gym in game 6.
No, I don't think
run them out of the gym in game 6.
I just think those guys are going to get worn down in a 7-game series. I don't think it's blood in the water as much as just they're going to run out of gas.
You know, I think it's going to come down to 2 things. 2 things. Number one,
Boston Bruins 2 keys.
Number one, are you gonna make a turnover? Those turnovers, they're gonna end your game.
Hey, you're not wrong.
End your game.
You're not wrong.
Seriously,
you especially take care of the
especially
rock.
Listen, with this young squad in Houston, they start making turnovers. They get sloppy. Game 7. Most of their probably a lot of first game 7s ever.
Yeah,
they're gonna be looking at some trouble. Whereas you got the Warriors. Think about who's on that squad. You got Jimmy Buckets. He's true. Very experienced with Game 7s. I know all too well. You got Steph Curry. He's the most experienced guy in the league at this point. You got Draymond, who's also equivalent with that. If the Rockets are sloppy, which I predict they probably will be because it's their first Game 7, a lot on the line, they're going to be making mistakes. They're going to be making turnovers. The Warriors, I think, are going to capitalize. It'll be a close game. I have the Warriors.
Can I counter your point as a notable big-time Houston Rockets fan? Can I counter your point here?
Sure.
Fred VanVleet, NBA champion, has become Fred Van Curry throughout this series. Guy cannot miss from three. Vet point guard, NBA champion. You think Fred VanVleet is going to be phased by the moment?
Well, I trust Curry more than I trust Fred.
That's a good point, too.
And the thing about it is,
Curry's never had anything bad happen to him in a Game 7.
Right. But imagine that, right? Curry's
ridiculous.
Curry's been at the absolute peak of Game 7s, the highest stakes Game 7 you could possibly have. This, for Curry, is nothing but a chump run. They're all chumps to him.
Chumps.
I'm going to regretfully concur with Ben. I have the Warriors. I think they're playoff experience at this point. Jimmy Butler, Steph Curry, Draymond Green, especially after the chemistry we've seen over these last 2 months. I got the Warriors tonight.
You got the Warriors.
I got the Warriors.
Okay. Look, here's what I got to say. Who's more experienced than the old wily vet, Steven Adams? Nobody. Nobody is.
Oh, my God, Steven Adams.
Steven Adams was, like, locked in a cave over the last 2 years in Memphis, and then they traded him, and nobody even knew he was on the Rockets until, like, the first game of the season. They brought him in, and it was like, wait, Steven Adams is on the Rockets? And then it's like, oh, yeah, right. that happened. You know, there's a lot of experience on this Houston team. I mean, they get Dylan Brooks, who's played in a lot of playoff games. They got what's his name? Who am I forgetting? I don't know. I forgot someone. Whatever. I feel like there's another big time vet that I'm forgetting on this team. And maybe I'm not. I don't know.
Is there?
I made something up. You know, it's possible. I'm good at making things up. But I think this will be a fascinating game to watch. Much better than the disaster that was the second half of Nuggets Clippers. I mean, really second quarter on, because I think Denver beat the Clippers by like 15 in the second quarter. Yeah. So just second quarter on, disaster. I felt so bad for Grant Hill and Ian Eagle. Because those guys called, like, the entire NCAA tournament. They called Knicks Pistons on Thursday. And then TNT was like, yeah, you guys are so good. You got to call. Go from Detroit out to Colorado and call this disaster of a basketball game. James Harden, 7 points. Novak knew. That James Harden wasn't going to show up. Novak also knew. Nikola Jokic.
James Harden yesterday.
Nikola Jokic, when he gets to game seven, he's just kind of like, eh. Eh, like, if I don't advance, I don't advance. He doesn't really want to score in a Game 7. Novak knew that as well. And he knew Big Zoo was going to have a big day on the boards, and Westbrook was going to get a steal because he's a dog. He knew all of this. May or may not have put them all together in a parlay and won. May or may not have. You know. Don't hold me to that. But one of those things where it's just like, it's just never going to happen for James Harden. Like, this was the last time where he could have showed up in a big, like, Game 7, big playoff spot, and he just had a disaster. I mean, he will just be remembered. I think he is, at least of modern times, the best player in NBA history to be this bad in big spots. It's hard to think of a guy worse, because he's just had so many bad Game 7s and bad clutch moments.
I mean, Harden got MVP, though. He was the best offensive player in the league.
Right. I'm saying, like, best player to shrink in clutch moments of the modern era. Like, I would have to see other people that just never came through in the big spot.
Yeah, other than Harden. I would agree other than Harden.
That is a good point. Wow. We should discuss that. Should we dig into that a little?
Yeah. Something like that.
Lamar Jackson, notable playoff shrinker.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he should have thrown a better ball to Mark Andrews that one time.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
Get out of here.
Yeah, it's what happens when you ask a running back to throw. Get out of here. You know?
Yeah.
Better than your whole team.
You know, a real organization like the Jets would have converted Lamar Jackson to wide receiver.
Right. It's true.
I don't think that's a terrible idea.
Yeah, well, it really isn't.
You know?
But, you know, what were we talking about?
James Harden.
We're talking about James Harden.
Right.
And game 7 last night.
You know, about that game, I was watching it last night. I was thinking, this might be the end of seeing Kawhi look like that. Like, you know,
Jonah literally said that. And then you walked in.
I actually said that when you walked in. And you just ripped me off.
No, yes.
I 100% said that right, during the game.
We got to lower the mics. We got to lower the mics.
Yes.
No.
This big guy is not picking a spot over here. And he's just making the mic rage.
I said it to Tyler before you were even there.
No, impossible.
I did.
Impossible.
When I was watching with him in the first quarter.
Oh, my gosh.
I said it to him. You could go ask. It's on the record. He'll tell you I said that. Oh, my God. I'm getting ripped off. Show you got to know. I'm getting ripped off here.
No.
Well, you know, whatever. That doesn't even matter to me. I said it first quarter. First quarter. What did he say? He probably said second half.
Look. Yes, he did, but
exactly.
Like...
Exactly, I said it first.
Okay.
Sitting in impound, I said it.
I wasn't there. Blame Litos. They took way too long to make my Buffalo calzone. Blame them. I would have been there earlier.
Unbelievable. Okay, sorry, Ben. I had the same thought.
Unbelievable.
All right, yeah. It's concurrence amongst the Newton Mass brain trust here.
I wasn't even sitting in the room when he said it, so that's how you know.
Yeah.
He did look like the only guy that was really hustling at any point in this game. The rest of the team just looked kind of sloppy.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, Kawhi has been such a clutch player throughout his career. I think he won the Finals MVP also on Toronto, right?
Twice. Yes.
Twice, yeah.
Yes. On the Spurs and Toronto, yeah.
Yeah, so two-time Finals MVP. Has some, again, incredibly clutch moments. I mean, the shot against the Sixers will go down as one of the clutchest shots in Toronto Raptors history, if not the clutchest shot in Toronto Raptors history. I think that when you look at Kawhi's career, it will be, you know, kind of a Hall of Fame, no doubt, like, you know, shoe-in, like, top 100 player all-time career, but it also have a lot of what-ifs with the injuries in his latter half of his career, starting with the end of his time in San Antonio, with the weird leg injury he had that he didn't have, that he didn't want the doctors to check out, but he did want the doctors to check out, but he only wanted his own doctors. It was bizarre. You know, it only really affected the Clippers, which is just like, geez. You imagine being a Clippers fan? That would stink. The Lakers just luck into Luka and, like, have just lucked into a championship in the bubble and, like, just never lose. And you're a Clippers fan who just watches your team just shrink in big moments all the time or just stink. Because they've also just stunk for a long time. So, yeah, that's got to be one of the worst franchises in sports to root for. Any other thoughts? Biggie, what are your thoughts?
On Clippers, Kawhi, anything?
Yeah, on what we've been talking about for like the last 10 minutes, yeah.
I think that if Kawhi wants another playoff run, something like that, he does not need to be on Clippers. He needs to be somewhere else. He needs to go somewhere else. I don't know where. I'm not that guy.
No, play GM. General manager, Fart Smeller. Where are we trading him?
Send him. Cross down.
Oh my God.
Lakers.
what's your trade package?
Nothing.
Hey, they need a center.
They can't afford him.
Nothing.
Let's see. Let's play this game. Kawhi gets dealt. Where does he go? Denver?
San Antonio again.
Denver? Wait, hold up. Denver? Wait. MPJ? I think that salary matches. MPJ for Kawhi.
I actually do think that matches. Yeah.
Christian Brown. And, like, the Nuggets should have picks.
Yeah,
their picks have gone?
Throw a couple picks in there, yeah.
Are you really going to give that up for Kawhi?
Dude, MPJ and Christian Brown.
The Nuggets are massive underdogs.
Mostly the picks.
The Nuggets are massive underdogs to OKC. Jokic ain't getting any younger. You want to capitalize on Jokic. Like, if there's ever a time to go in, when you have probably the best player in basketball, is a time to go all in. Like,
I don't know. I'm gonna be honest, I don't think they need to put a crazy superstar next to Jokic. They need depth. They need some role players on the Nuggets.
The depth is lacking.
If you're gonna just take a huge shot and a huge swing at a guy who's like maybe has like one or two really talented playoff runs left in him, and then you're left with like nothing after that.
I mean,
that's the same thing the Clippers did to get Paul George
in that title run that the Nuggets had. They had Bruce Brown coming off the bench,
right?
Jeff Green, who was balling that whole playoffs. They had a ton of better depth than they did now. I do concur with Jonah. I do think the Nuggets need more depth.
get a Derek White type guy.
Well, can I present you?
Yeah, that is what they need.
This is why, you know, many NBA teams have inquired about hiring me as general manager. What if I deal Jamal Murray for some depth?
Yeah, easy. I would take that 100%.
I get Kawhi as my new second star, and then I go, Jamal Murray, goodbye. Let me get two or three role players in here.
Yep.
Where's my championship?
Right.
Where's my cut? Break me off. Classic Johnny Manziel quote. I think Kawhi's just going to stay because he's an LA guy, and I think he just likes living there, and like he's got the championships, he's got the accolades. Like at this point, it's just about him staying healthy and like uprooting his life is probably the best way for him to not stay healthy. And I think he's just going to be content with what the Clippers have right now. I think he likes playing with James Harden. Ty Lue's a good coach. I think he's just going to stay, and, you know, time's a flat circle. And, you know, if you're a gambling man, bet on nothing ever changing.
I have to say, I think that the Clippers nailed it with Kawhi Leonard's health this season. They figured it out. I saw somebody, I got my take on this from TikTok. The guy said, you get 6 months out of every year of healthy basketball from Kawhi Leonard. So you can either play him on opening night, and he is just going to, his knee is going to turn into Swiss cheese Brody Funk Walt Williams style around April, May. And then you're going to try and drag him through the playoffs, so he's going to be buns. Or you wait a bit, you play him in, when do they start him? April? Or, no, not it, sorry. They start him like January, February.
Yeah.
You know, nobody needs to see him play in the in-season tournament. You can wait that out. And then, like, you just sort of get him back into the swing of things. And he was... this is the healthiest playoff Kawhi we've seen in many years. So,
yeah, well, it's a fair point. I think it's hard to argue with that. Kawhi, the injury history is just so massive. It's like, how could you not be worried about
massive?
It?
Sorry.
Would you like to comment?
I have no comment.
Okay, appreciate it. Yeah, it is an interesting thought. I would say you're a basketball player and you can play in the basketball game. You should play in the basketball game. That's my theory on this, though. I would respectfully disagree. Any final thoughts on Clippers Nuggets before we move on to the Eastern Conference here?
No,
I want Westbrook to get his ring. That's it. I know it's very unlikely.
Oh yeah, you know that's fun.
That I want Westbrook to get his
there's ring a playoff series between the Thunder and the Nuggets.
And
the Thunder Nuggets.
Yep.
That just sounds like a fun, like, infomercial product. Thunder Nuggets. Definitely something poop-related, no doubt.
Yo.
Is he wrong?
These two guys, Thunder I mean, Nuggets. Thinking, Nuggets? They know too much about Thunder Nuggets, let me tell you.
Yeah.
They know too much about
that's Nuggets. That's like me. I heard that out of Loonies, let me tell you. The next morning, I'm just ripping Thunder Nuggets.
Yeah. No, Tyler Chilton, definitely a big Thunder Nuggets guy.
Oh, don't even start it. He's like a howitzer in the living room.
A howitzer. Yeah. OKC, huge favorites in that series, by the way, which is kind of nuts because Jokic is that good. But I don't disagree with it. That's the crazy part. Are we going to do the, you know, let's, you know, before we go to the East, let's do the Viggy, do your Anthony Edwards fart smell thing.
I will say that game four from Anthony Edwards, sensational. Sensational. 43 points, every shot down the clutch. Shout out Naz Reid, the GOAT.
And
my final takeaway from that series, Lakers desperately need depth. They need depth. If you are realistically want another ring out of LeBron and you want to capitalize on Luka, you need a functional big man. You play Jackson Hayes in playoff minutes, he's picking up 2 fouls in 5 minutes and doing nothing. He's doing nothing. Lakers are doing nothing right now. And listen, I'm as big a LeBron hater as the next guy, but I will appreciate greatness. They're not capitalizing on the greatness right now. That's it.
Vignesh Lella, Fart Smella, Jolly Fella, Don't Matter, T-Wolves and Five.
I was going to have a follow-up recommendation for any Laker fan looking to the draft next couple years. Really talented kid coming out of Arizona. 6'8", forward. Bryce James, draft him, bring him to the Lakers.
You know what? Yeah, Lakers. You know, Lakers. You should do that. I love to see the Lakers stay bad.
I think they will draft Bryce James.
So,
and I think he's gonna be a talented kid.
And if they might trade Austin Reeves. They're really kind of out of pieces to deal because the Luka trade, as much as people say it was a fleece job, which it was, that trade, and like. They just didn't have a lot of trade chips to give up. So they gave up a lot of them in that Luka deal. They kind of have like one or two firsts. Dalton Connect, who they just stopped playing. And I don't know.
Max Christie. Come on.
He's gone.
I know. I'm saying that's one of the pieces they dealt.
I know. They got kind of nothing. I don't know. Jared Vanderbilt. People want Jared Vanderbilt. I don't like. It's gonna be tough for them to find a center. I mean, it's basically the package they gave up for Mark Williams. It's do you want our two firsts and Dalton Connect? That's what you can have. What center can that get us? And I think if I was the Atlanta Hawks, I would just try and inflate Clint Capella's value, and that would be the deal I'd make. But
Robert Williams III.
What?
I mean. They're not giving up. The Lakers aren't giving up a lot of salary. I think Robert Williams is pretty cheap. That's not a terrible idea.
No,
his knee is as just as beyond.
I thought he played most of the games last season. Am I crazy?
I'm pretty sure. I thought he was playing. I'm pretty sure he was out a lot. Listen,
maybe I'm wrong.
I used to be a lover of Robert Williams III. He was, you know, he started.
Yeah, I hate Robert Williams II. He was terrible at basketball.
No idea what his deal was, but the third, I had hope. I'd hope. He's offensive liability, don't get me wrong. Total offensive liability, couldn't score, couldn't do anything.
No, he got hurt.
No, he's Time Lord. You kidding me?
Yeah, he came back, he was playing, he was playing, he was playing all right, and then he got hurt. Yeah, that stinks.
Yep.
Against the Lakers, too. So the Lakers saw firsthand him get hurt. Yep. That's
it was,
fun.
It was unfortunate that playoff run, or the finals run against the Warriors, is when he really went downhill. They were like playing him heavy minutes on an injured knee. I think that killed him.
Yeah. Tibbs. Get him with Tibbs. I think that'll fix him. You know, right.
Yep.
It's like a bell curve. You know, you just keep going with the minutes. Eventually you find the health.
Right.
that's how it goes. We got Knicks and Celtics fans and one Wizard fan. Let's do Knicks Celtics. Do we want to do Celtics first? We can talk about the Celtics.
You want us to talk about the Celtics?
Yeah, Semi Ojeley. Let's do that first.
Semi Ojeley. You know, Semi Ojeley, great guy. But you know, this series, it's really going to come down to like, what can they do against the 3 and the 4, at least in my opinion, right? Like it's on paper, it's actually, I think it's going to be a pretty good matchup in that regard. I mean, you got Mikal Bridges probably will be on Tatum, right?
Or it's going to be the other way around. It's going to be Bridges will be on
Brown
and Tatum will be on Anunoby will be on Tatum. Yeah,
that's right. What I got to say. 3 and 4, they want some more.
Oh my god,
Viggy is a. I won't finish that one. Celtics in 5. This is the easiest call ever. I think they're gonna smoke them.
You know, I mean, listen. I hope they do. I really hope they do. With Drew Holiday potentially out.
That's a good point.
Right, we don't have that defense we want on Jalen Brunson. That's a bit of a problem. Like as good as Peyton Pritchard is, he's shown he can play defense, but I don't know if it's that good. And then, you know, Derek White can also play defense, but he's more of a
2 or 3.
Yeah, Pritchard.
So I really think the question is going to come down to those that 3 and that 4, because we know Brunson's going to get his points guaranteed.
I got a question for you guys.
What?
All right, I interrupted you. I'm sorry, but it just popped into my head, and I couldn't let the thought escape me. Do you think that the Boston GMs start saying guys' names in like Boston accents to see like would this guy work here? Like Brad Stevens was in the draft room, and they're thinking about drafting Peyton Pritchard, and he just goes Pritchard.
Like Jordan, you think that happens?
Yeah, Jaden Walsh. Like, you think when the Red Sox got Xander Bogaerts, they're like, Bogaerts?
Oh, don't remind me.
Unbelievable.
Don't remind me of the pain.
Two titles? But Xander? No, one. He was only
there for one.
Yeah. Well, sad. I don't know. Yeah, good memories.
Good memories.
Marcus Smart. Right. Like, they were like, we got the 6th pick. We could pick either Julius Randle. Like, they probably didn't even know how to do that one in a Boston accent.
Hey, look,
Marcus Smart.
He was playing good defense on them Lakers.
True.
He was playing good defense on them Lakers.
What's my take on this series? I think they're going to do a very similar thing that they did to the Mavericks in the finals last season. Jalen Brunson, you got a guy, he's a machine. He's going to score whatever. Just cut off everybody else. He's not going to be. You're going to make Jalen Brown beat the Celtics by himself. I don't think he's going to be able to.
Jalen
Brunson.
Yeah, I mean, what is Cat going to be up to? How did he do in the last series?
He played pretty well.
He was the most ridiculously up and down player I've ever seen in my entire life in a playoff series.
Right. Like, I think that could like be a significant factor. Like I was saying, Brunson's going to get his points. I think that's like a guarantee. Like, will the guys around him do anything? Like, do I really trust Mikal Bridges to get his points? Not really. Do I trust Cat to potentially? Josh Hart, no, I don't trust him to get any points.
Well, Josh Hart's not really...
Right, that's not his purpose,
yeah,
right?
It's
like, I think that the Knicks could put up a fight, but their guys have to play. And that's the difference between the Celtics, right? Like we just need like one of our guys to play, which generally happens. I mean, maybe we'll have one or two games where they don't, which is what happened in, game three, Magic Celtics. But... other than that, it's going to be nearly impossible to stop us. I genuinely think so.
So
we'll see.
Here again, barring injuries, because injuries could massively shift the series. Sure. And there's some injuries with the Celtics. The Knicks have some injuries. I mean, not like the Knicks haven't put any of them on the injury report, but like Jalen Brunson has basically gone to the locker room and changed his shoes like every game of the first round. And Josh Hart has like a weird thing with like his chest where it's like confirmed since like January he's going to need surgery after the season. So that's fun. But basically, the way I see this series is I think if the first two games happen and it's just like Boston blows the Knicks out, there's just no adjustment. Because there's no, like, if the Knicks don't start this series pretty well, like at least like down to the wire in game one, game two, and like showing that they're on the Celtics level, it's just there's no like adjustment for the Knicks. It's not like, oh, this lineup's not working. Here's our second lineup we could throw at you. There is no like second lineup they could throw at you. Like they could kind of go to Mitch instead of like McHale. They wanted to be like double bigs and try and like be like, you know, outsize the Celtics. I think that's a tough task. And then you kind of could go to McBride over Hart and try and play five out. The problem is McBride right now can't hit water if he fell out of a boat. So I don't know if I trust that. You know, Landry Shamet, you know, great name.
Shamet. There goes Kyrie.
Yeah, I can just imagine Tibbs yelling at Burch, Landry, Shamet. You know, just doing all that. But they can't, like, the five-out thing, I think, is going to be hard for them to execute because they either, again, McBride can't hit a shot right now, or you're putting Shamet or Campaign out there who probably can't defend Boston size. So that's a problem. Again, it's just, it's kind of like, I think this series will be more competitive than people think, if I had to give an opinion on it. But it's hard, it's going to be hard to tell until game one happens. I think after game one, it'll be like, okay, the Knicks lost by two, we might have a series here. Or, okay, the Knicks lost by 30, this is a problem. And then I think it's the question of Tibbs. I don't think it's a talent problem or a mental makeup problem with the Knicks right now. I think it's a style of play problem more than anything, and a lack of, you know, Tibbs, the trade-off with Tibbs, and I think people don't know this, is he plays these guys crazy heavy minutes, but for the most part, they're healthy right now, and a lot of the reasons where they make up the minutes is their practices are very light. Tibbs has made that adjustment, I think, throughout his time with the Knicks. I think he basically, since he started with the Knicks, this has been how he's kind of done it, is lighter practices, less intense practices, you know, some like a little bit more film study and a little bit more like minutes on the actual court. And I think that's fine in terms of like preserving guys to the playoffs and getting guys, you know, not injuring guys the way it was like last season or you know, with Tibbs in the past. But I think it's a challenging thing for them to, it's just like the chemistry is just off. Like they should really be able to go on these big runs and really just be able to close games out way better than they are able to. Now, granted, you know, game gets close late. They've shown time and time again they have the mental toughness and, like, the right makeup to feed Brunson or just even, like, Mikal Bridges. You know, Brunson misses a shot late in the Pistons game. Mikal Bridges makes a great play to, you know, tip in the ball, like, get the offensive rebound, tip in the ball. So it's not just Brunson. Like, Mikal Bridges had a game-winning block earlier in the season. Like, they've had other big shots from other guys. Like, OG had a huge shot against Memphis earlier this season. You know, a lot of it's Brunson, but it's not necessarily all Brunson. I think it's one of those things where I think a different style of play, a little bit more off-ball movement, a little bit of a deeper rotation just to be able to play a higher tempo style. I mean, the Knicks are bottom five in the league in tempo. It makes no sense for what their personnel really is, especially with guys like Bridges and Anunoby, where I think those guys, like, the best parts of Bridges, Anunoby, and Josh Hart's games, genuinely for all three of them, might be the fast break, and the Knicks are, like, bottom five in tempo, because that's just how Tibbs likes to do it. I genuinely am just kind of struggling to see how, like, I think this roster is good enough to at least show more than what they've shown throughout this season and show more than what they showed in that Detroit series. I just don't think they have the right coach. Like, I think Tibbs is a good coach. I think he's really good with young teams, develop players, you know, like, I mean, he, you know, Brunson got so much better under Tibbs, but, like, also, like, draft picks of the Knicks, like, Emmanuel Quickley and Quentin Grimes really established themselves in the league with the Knicks and, like, learned how to be pros. Mitchell Robinson became, like, a winning player. Isaiah Hartenstein, they brought in. DiVincenzo. You know, you can, there's a good list here of guys that have, like, assimilated into useful basketball players in the NBA. But I just think it's one of those where they just might not have the right style of play, and they don't really have the ability as the series goes on to make adjustments. And Boston will have that ability because of Boston's depth with, you know, again, it's health related, but assuming Holiday plays at some point in this series with, you know, bringing in Pritchard, with bringing in Hauser, with bringing in Cornette and Horford and then the guys they have on their bench.
Yep. I mean, I don't have much
you nailed it.
Next pick, but you know the Celtics. Give me another one. Give me another 19.
Cleveland. I don't know. Cleveland's tough. OKC's tough. It's a great year for basketball. I mean, you got 360 plus win teams. That's pretty remarkable.
Yep. And it's gonna be fun to watch down the stretch. I'm excited to see what happens. And yeah, that's it.
Any other takes?
One thing that does concern me about the Knicks, they have not been against, Cleveland, Boston, OKC, they have been straight up terrible. They may have one win combined against all three of those
teams. They don't have a win.
They don't have a win against those three teams. That is something that very much concerns me. That would concern me if I was a Knicks fan going into this series, because we've established Boston's depth a lot better. And you've established that there's no other lineup the Knicks can really throw at the Celtics. While the Celtics have multiple guys who could just come in. You got Sam Hauser hitting threes off the bench for some reason in playoff games. I mean,
that's what he's there for. What do you mean for some reason?
Listen. I don't see any other option for, there's no other lineup the Knicks can throw. That's what concerns me. Because if they're cooking the Tibbs 40-minute lineup, then what are the Knicks really going to do? You know what I'm saying?
You're upside Novik. Look, you know what? I just popped into my head while Viggy was saying that nonsense. Baylor Shireman.
Yeah, what about
they got to sit there and do this. They have to. It doesn't make any sense.
Big Al.
Al Horford.
They're like, that works. That works.
I know. Yep, but I don't know. It's gonna be good to watch. I always love some playoff basketball.
Yeah, so. Playoff basketball's great. It's always fun to watch a series because, you know, you don't get the chess match element of basketball throughout the season. It's just kind of game by game. Here's our style of play. You know, let's out talent the other team and execute what we want to do. You know, there's not a ton of crazy adjustments in the regular season. But when you get to the playoffs, it's you know, these 4, 5, 6, 7 game series, you know, these teams make these adjustments, and it kind of is interesting to see what works and what doesn't work. And also, with the star players, can they figure out how to beat, you know, what the coaches, the defensive strategies the coach are kind of deploying against them.
Speaking of star players, Giannis needs to get out of Milwaukee.
Oh, yeah.
ASAP. He needs to get out ASAP. I don't know what
I'm going to disagree. We're going to have a debate. We're going to have a debate.
Go ahead.
Before we go on to that, I'd just like to quickly say, I found it so remarkable how much more enjoyable it is to watch NBA playoff basketball than it was to watch March Madness.
Yep.
You actually have to be sick in the head to be a college basketball fan and to really get into March Madness, because it is just the most sloppy, disgusting, painful basketball to watch. And you're guys pulling up for three, 0% chance this goes in. He could be throwing it at the side of the barn.
I totally agree with that.
The reason I like March Madness, yes, it is very sloppy compared to the NBA, but every single play is just, it's usually do or die, unless it's an absolute blowout. Every play is do or die. You are making this play to win the game. If you lose, you're going home. There's no game two, game three, game four that you can go into a game plan for. It's just, you got to hit the shot, you got to get this rebound, you got to play, you got to get the steal, or else you're going to lose. You go home. That's why I like March Madness. Yes, it is very sloppy. College basketball is very sloppy, but I love March Madness for that aspect and that environment. You know what I mean?
Right. I think that aspect is good for the first 5 games you watch. Then all of a sudden you're like, wait, this is terrible. And then you turn it off for the last couple rounds. And then you turn it back on again. That's what I do, at least.
I'm also biased because I won one of my my groups. So I was keyed in for that. But
I don't know. Maybe I'm biased because I was sweating out McNeese State to win in round one and watched them almost blow a 25-point lead in the last 5 minutes of the game. But yeah. All right. Sorry. I didn't mean to derail us. We could just talk about Giannis.
Yeah. So do you guys want to give your why Giannis wants to be traded and where he should go take, and then I could counter it? Give my take, or do you want me to go first?
Well, I'm just looking at what management's done. what Milwaukee's done since they won the title. Jrue Holiday, who 100%, I'm not gonna say that he's a better player than Dame, but what he did for his team was definitely better than what he did for the Bucks was definitely better than what Dame did for the Bucks. He's gone. Chris Middleton, he was definitely a key piece on the title run. Hurt to absolute nowhere. He got hurt like crazy, and now he's gone. And then if you look at the depth on the team now compared to what it was a couple years ago, Brooke Lopez washed.
I wouldn't say washed, but yeah, he's like 35. He's old.
He played a lot better on that title run than he has been playing this week.
Yeah, true.
Who else was on that team? Bobby Portis, washed.
What was that guy? Oh, the guy that scored 30 in the last game. And
Gary Trent.
What about Gary Trent? Come on.
He was the only one that even showed up.
No, he made the game-losing play.
No, he's also a bum.
He did 30 in that game. I'll give him credit where it's due. He had 30 in that elimination game.
I know, but he lost the game for that. He dropped the ball.
He's a bum. I would always take him off the waivers in fantasy basketball, and I'd be like, you know what? He gets 30 minutes a game. He's going to do something for me.
And then you got
3 points. 3 points. 2 points. 5 points. And I'm like, what is this guy doing? Was he even playing the game? What's going on here?
And then you got Bengals legend, A.J. Green.
Right.
Jump ball specialist.
A.J. Green getting serious playoff minutes. I don't know. They've just not done a good job building a good supporting cast around Giannis at all since his title run. Because of that, I think best business decision for Giannis. I did a lot for the city. They're going to love me after I retire. Get up out of here. I like him going to the Spurs, baby. The Spurs. Pair him with Ben Wemby. Get him the full five.
So they're going
to
dish all the guys they got last year.
I don't know, actually, that I like Giannis to the Spurs. He's on a very different timeline than their whole team. I don't think that they're necessarily ready to compete for a title right now. I think because of how many pieces they have to move, he might end up at OKC. They have so many picks.
Yeah, but they're going to have no money.
I would say there's also been a very popular...
The salary, how would they make the salary work? I got to think about this.
They're not, because they're not going to dish...
It would be Hartenstein. He's big money on their team. Caruso. I still don't think they make the money work. It's got to be like Hartenstein, Caruso...
Yes.
They gotta get rid of
one. I'm doing math in my head right now.
You can't have a big four. That just doesn't work.
Who else would...
Unless you're the Celtics, baby!
Chet? Would they have to move Chet? They'd have to do something weird. They'd have to get a third team involved, I think, to make this work. Because I don't think Milwaukee... Maybe... Do they just have cap space, OKC? I don't know. I gotta look this up. But you guys keep going.
Well, Detroit, maybe?
Well, now I'm curious why you think you should save. Because you
didn't say... All right, you know what? I'll just play the why Giannis should stay. I would say, to me, his legacy is pretty set in stone. Winning another championship for him, and by the way, he's got to be the best player on the team.
By the way,
he's got to be the best player on the team for it to do anything for him. Does it really do much for him?
What team is he going to where he's not the best player? He's in the middle of his prime right now.
I mean, if he goes to San Antonio, I wouldn't be shocked if Wemby surpassed him. Unless they win it in year one. Unless they do it in year one, which I don't know. I don't know if that team has enough around Giannis and Wemby. I mean, I would assume Fox would go back to Milwaukee in the deal. I would assume you'd probably have to give up like a Castle. I mean, it's a lot to give up for Giannis because he's still in his prime. So I'm not sure San Antonio would win it right away. And then to me, you're making... I think Wembanyama has such immense potential. He could probably be a better player than Giannis by year two, year three. So, and again, Giannis, he's going to be 32 next year. So, you know, talking about age 33 Giannis, age 34 Giannis. But I just think, like, the whole thing with Giannis is, like, never really had a three-point shot. Like, that's just kind of going to limit you in all-time conversations when you're not a shooter and you're not really a center. Like, you need another kind of, I mean, unless you're going to have, you know, which I think Milwaukee smartly built around him, like with Brooke Lopez and Portis, guys that can hit threes. But to me, it's just much more like Milwaukee put a lot of really good teams around Giannis, and I just genuinely think he should be loyal and trust. Like, these contracts in basketball, they don't last forever. You know, trust that a good GM, you get a better coach in there. Like, I'd understand if Giannis was like, Doc Rivers, not really the right fit for our team. Let's move on. I totally understand that. I think if you moved off Doc Rivers, You know, you bring in a new coach, you kind of let the string run out, because Brook Lopez's contract's up this season. I don't know if they have any of these other contracts up. Maybe move off Dame, you know, a little bit of a reboot year, and then really go for it with Giannis in probably the last 2 years where he's really, like, still a top 10 guy in the league. And I think, like, he should just be loyal to Milwaukee. Like, they put a lot of good teams around him, and he had a lot of years where he just couldn't get it done. You know, they had teams with Chris Middleton was a really good co-star. Drew Holiday was all defensive, like, great player in the middle of his prime. They got him. Like, Brook Lopez and Bobby Portis were really good fits for him. I mean, who else do they have on those teams? I don't know. Pat Connaughton. Great Boston name.
He's from Boston.
Yeah, there you go. I just think, like, why not be loyal and just, like, trust that Milwaukee can turn it around? Like, you know, these again, like, the contracts don't last forever in the NBA. Like, you can find new pieces, you can mix and match, you can get creative, you can find value in free agency. Like, they already have Giannis. You know, I will say the Dame torn Achilles is kind of a killer. Like, I think that's the one area where, okay, they just might not be able to move Dame. And if you can't move Dame, it just becomes really challenging. But, you know, if I was Giannis, like, why not see if you know, like, are you really going to regret, you know, staying with one franchise and a franchise that was able to put a team good enough to win a championship? Are you really going to regret that? I don't think so. So I think it's, if I was him, I would stay and be the all-time great Milwaukee Buck. Basically be unbeatable, because it's unheard of for a player to stay that long, that's that good to stay that long with a small market franchise. But I think it would be a cool legacy for him.
Perfect.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's kind of like asking him not to win right now, though. That's the only thing. I really don't see that Bucks doing anything that drastic the next year to, like, win next year. But, you know, maybe. I mean, maybe they could put something together. But if he really wants to win right now, I think I see him shipping out. But I guess we'll see what he does. Is he a loyalist, or is he a separatist?
Separatist.
I mean, they have the Brook Lopez money coming off the books, so they'll at least have, like, I think at least $20 million to work with in cap, so they'll have, you know, the ability to change that roster around a little bit.
I just can't believe Doc Rivers got another job, bro. And Darvin Ham, too. Like, genuinely, what were they smoking, the GM, that they were like, we need these two bald idiots to stand their hands in their pockets? Dust without falling. Like, what are they doing? Like, they have one of the most talented players on the salute. One of the most talented players on the planet. Like, what? Like, I don't know. That's a sign to me that they kind of don't know what they're doing. They moved off of Coach Bud, and they've just been like, not that Coach Bud was just like all time coach, but like, it seems like they have not had anything like going, no kind of momentum.
I think it was kind of time with Coach Bud. You know, he had a good run. I think that team was changing, and clearly, you know, now it's completely, like, changed. And I think it was just time to have a new voice in there and try and spark something new. Like, I don't think coaches in the NBA necessarily should be with their teams forever. I don't think coaches, honestly, in any sport.
Notable new voice.
Well, Adrian Griffin came in first. You got to remember this. Right. And they thought he was going to be like this young, great coach. They were actually playing really well.
They were the three seed.
I think they were the two last year.
I thought they were the three,
but it was kind of like, oh, this style is unsustainable, and Giannis didn't like him, and they fired him. There you go. Look, Giannis didn't like the coach, or they got rid of the coach for him. And now he's going to be like, I want to go. Like, it's just kind of like, you know, you made your own bet at this point. Like, I think Giannis wanted Doc Rivers. Like, I think that's kind of why they did that.
I'll never understand why they want him.
Yeah. He could have been called the finals last year instead of coaching the Bucks. You know what I
mean? I don't think anyone wants that either.
That would have been heinous.
I think it's a fair point. I just think that this roster for Milwaukee is clearly, like, incredibly flawed.
Yep.
And it doesn't really work with Giannis, and it's just incredibly unathletic besides Giannis. I think that's really the big thing, is it's, like, old and just slow. And old and slow is usually not the way to win in sports, and especially the way the NBA is playing right now. And you look at teams like the Thunder and the Cavs, it's like, good luck being old and slow against that team, because it ain't happening for you. So I just firmly, like, would just like to hammer home the point that I think Milwaukee has done about as good of a job as you could do in building around Giannis. This is not like a Dame Portland situation where Portland just, like, was insistent on keeping C.J. McCollum, who just didn't fit with Dame, and they just, you know, never really put a team that would, like, Dame would just carry that franchise. They're like, oh, yeah, Nurkic is one of our core players. Like, you know, this is not that. And I just think, you know, like, why not? Like, why not be loyal? Like, you know, Houston, like, Houston's going to have to give up a lot. And, like, you know, if Houston gives up, like, a Şengün and you're kind of on a team with Jalen Green and Ausar Thompson, it's like, is that team winning a championship? I don't know.
Do a sort of, like, Kevin Durant scenario.
Yeah.
What about the Hawks? I can imagine him going somewhere like that.
Trae Young. The haul that you need to give up to get a player like Giannis, you're going to be left with nothing. Same thing happened to the Suns with Kevin Durant. They give up everything.
Or Rudy Gobert that one time.
Or Rudy Gobert that one time.
Like, I think you could make it work.
Somehow it did.
I mean, maybe if you get Milwaukee to do, like, a deal like Jalen Green, Tari Eason, maybe another one of your, like, a Reed Shepard, who was the third pick. And some firsts, you know, and your teams like Van Vliet, Giannis, Şengün, Ausar, you know, that to me is like, that's a good team, but like, is that beating the Thunder? I don't think so. Is that beating Boston? I mean, Boston might deconstruct in the offseason, which I've seen reports on.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with Boston.
Like, is that beating what Cleveland currently has with, like, basically three all-stars in Garland, Mitchell, and Mobley, and then all that depth? Like, I don't see it. Like, genuinely don't see it. And you know, that's kind of why it's always challenging in the NBA. Like, it's why you have a lot of dominant teams, because it's just like, at the end of the day, it's so matchup dependent. It's kind of like the best player beats the second best player, the second best player beats the third best player. Like, kind of a, you know, dog eat dog kind of a sport. But I don't know. Any other final thoughts, and then we can move on to Scott Rolen and Kegball.
We've missed one series. We've missed one series. The Pacers Cavs series.
Oh yeah, that's gonna be electric. Up and down the floor. I'm excited for it. It's actually gonna be really fun basketball to watch. A lot of transition, a lot of pace. Yeah.
All 15 people that watch basketball in the Midwest are stoked.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be fun. I actually think that series will be fun to watch.
I'll take your word for it.
Kegball.
Kegball. How do we want to start this? Explain what it is?
Yeah. Explain what it is. Explain kegball.
So, everyone at least knows of backyard wiffle ball, right? Go out with your friends, play some wiffle ball. Now, this is basically wiffle ball, but on second base, instead of a base, you got a keg. All right?
Wow.
And the whole point is, once you get to second base, you got to top off your drink, top off your beer, and you have to finish your beer before you get home and score. So it ends up, you know, being a game of strategy, a game of when do I go, when do I drink, when do I do this, when do I do
you
that.
You can stack three people at second base, by the way. So
you can stack people
at second base. So, you know, you can wait a little, you know, if you need a break, you need to do this. It's a lot of fun. You play with a tennis ball, and you always have to be holding your drink in one hand. So you can only bat with one hand, you can only pitch on it, you can only field with one hand. And it's very challenging when the grab ball is coming at you. That is very tough to field, very tough to get there. And I think, you know, the most important part that I think Jonah here will agree with me, maybe not Viggy, is that some people who are athletic in other sports tend to really, really struggle in kegball.
Hey.
And, you know, I think we have a perfect example with Viggy here.
Hey, no.
He can go up to the plate, guaranteed strikeout, guaranteed.
I got hammered, bro. I was playing fine the first game.
Guaranteed
first
strikeout.
First game I was playing totally fine. Second game I just got two hammered, bro. That's an excuse.
I prefer hammered's an interesting way to say the yips.
No.
Interesting way to say bad at the game.
Bad at the game.
You have no idea. B-A-T-G.
Bad at the game.
I was also striking out like crazy.
No. Viggy, guess what? Viggy.
I was piping it.
You ever heard of Rick Ankiel?
Okay.
That's you. But let's talk about Jonah Goldfarb here. Guy was playing third base, like Scott Rolen, the Hall of Famer, locking it down, platinum glove over at third base, charging the ball, making diving catches.
Oh, yeah.
Just getting in the hole, making it happen. Jonah, let's talk about your third base defense yesterday.
What you really have to take into account is that there's a super unique feature on this field, which is a house. And the ball was frequently... Yeah, it's on third base, so we got a lot of righty batters. They're popping it up. Sits on the house for a bit. Oh, man, my days at sleepaway camp playing roof ball, I could track the ball. The millimetric precision. Where is it going to come down? I just set myself up time after time after time to just sit there. Boom. Statue of Liberty. Right to the hand.
Like, this guy knows how to play it off the wall. I mean, unreal. Unreal player.
Off the roof.
You know, underrated.
No, I mean, I think it really critical part of the game is just you got to make contact.
You gotta make contact.
The ball go forward from home plate.
You gotta go. You gotta put a guy
like Viggy.
Yeah.
Or like,
just struggles
to
do that.
I like to call him Iggy. you see the guy. I don't know. He's sort of looking at the bat. Like, is there a hole in it? You know. You start asking people. Is there a hole in the bat? What is happening here? Is it just such a monumental and historic collapse? That it couldn't even. I cannot describe in words. Just
you know
how disastrous.
Maybe at the bank. I'll run it back any day.
You know the actual worst part is that it was like a draft for when we started. Like, so you got to pick your team, and you know the two team captains. One of them was a guy named Tyler who was very good at hitting. You know, one of the best hitters out there potentially. Our team captain was Viggy, who couldn't even hit anything.
I got hammered.
He was horrible.
I got hammered.
So we were down.
Viggy was the Joey Gallo.
We almost gave him a handicap and just fished out a tennis racket for him.
He needed something to help him. It was actually unbelievable. We ended up losing the game because of that.
I mean, it was a blowout. We doubled you up.
Every time. And you know what? He was so bad. He was like, I need to hit the ball. So then he went to go bat. Before his time was supposed to be up, so he just got basically 2 outs in this time when he should have only got one. He was horrible. Cost us the game.
Ed Viggy, I don't think properly fielded a grounder all game.
No,
I had a nice catch that one time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I remember the one that was just coming to you. You just
not a grounder.
That one was really bad.
Slipped off the hand.
That one was really bad.
Somebody put grease on his glove.
Yeah, but look. You know, Viggy, one of the least valuable players in kegball.
Unbelievable.
The analytics hate Viggy. Analytics despise him.
Smoked him.
The raw numbers despise him. Was like 0-for-30 yesterday.
I was not 0-for-30.
He was at least during the game we played. He was at
the
least
Players Association despises him.
Despises him.
Coaches all over the world.
Then he got into a contract dispute with general manager Eli Bloom. Dispute with general manager Eli Bloom, and the Players Association said, "No thanks, you're on your own, kid."
You know what actually is my favorite part of kegball is that. All of the rules are just made up on the spot.
Made up. Totally
every
made up.
Single we Ben started saying all of a sudden if the ball hits the road it's foul. We never played that at all.
And guess what? It works. And they called it foul. Guess what?
You gotta advocate for
your team. That's how you play.
Yeah, right.
There was a certain point though where it was just like people who knew baseball were like, that's just not how baseball works, but then we were kinda just agreed, this is kegball, who cares?
Yeah. Unbelievable.
We were just kind of like, let Logan West have a home run, I guess. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Play of the game for me is Josh Cuff Brexit tackle on Ben DeCicco.
Oh, yeah, he just, yeah.
Ben is trying to tag him out, and Josh just came in and just smoked
completely
him.
Completely took me out. Completely.
Unbelievable.
It's about time. I think we've had an excellent show. A lot of props to... Three great guests, three Hall of Fame guests. Viggy, not quite. No, you're not Hall of Fame.
I'm sort of
two Hall of Fame guests